This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thanks for tuning in. This is WGN Radio. Pete Zimmerman produces the show. I'm John Williams, and we've got another lineup of great guests to answer questions about the economy, the big picture, and the little picture for you and me. And I wanted to mention one other thing about that commercial you just heard for the Salvation Army and how the need has never been greater, and yet the resources have never been more stretched. They told us a couple of times, a couple of guests from the Salvation Army this week, that petitions to them since the pandemic started are up fivefold. And yet the number of bell ringers they have is less than half. You can always make a donation online. You might get something in the mail if you can give to the Army this year. They do the most good. And on December 16th, from 10 to noon, December 16th, 10 to noon, so a couple of weeks, we're going to do a little bit of a radiothon on my show and raise as much money as we can for them. And on that day, if you make a donation, you can get premiums like WGN t-shirts, polar fleeces, Yeti coolers, and coffee mugs, some really terrific items. And there's a video describing all of them and how and when and where we're going to do it at WGNradio.com. You'll see a picture of me there. Click on that video. But if you want to make a donation right now, just go to WGNradio.com. There's a kettle. Click on it. But if you want to wait for the goods, then watch that video. It'll tell you more what you can get. We've never done this before, WGN-branded stuff. I don't know why, but we're going to at least do it now. We should always be doing it. But if you make a donation to the Army on the 16th, you can get some of our great swag. Okay, Wintrust Business Lunch gets rolling now. Mark Hamrick joins us again on WGN Radio. Mark, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm well, John. Good to be with you. Thank you.
Mark's the Washington Bureau Chief and a Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate.com. Are you surprised by some of the numbers we're looking at? The jobs numbers aren't so good today.
Not surprised by the tone, John. I think there are always something that is interesting or yet to be determined by the actual release of the report. You know, I think you and I probably talked a few months ago about the notion of what the recovery looks like, and those who were looking to amplify the strength of the recovery would have attached themselves to the notion of a V-shaped recovery. And I think, you know, we've talked about alternatives to that. But you really have to just cast that very notion totally aside at this point and raise the prospect whether the recovery can maintain any traction at all when you see this. We have 245,000 jobs added in the economy with 10.7 million unemployed. If we were to stay at that pace, and I don't think we will, that would take 3 years to get back just to zero. So it's disappointing. It's not encouraging when you see the unemployment rate slip by 0.2% because you have people exiting the labor force participation declining, not moving up. And so we know that this snapshot, which basically was grabbed around the second week of November, things haven't really improved since then broadly. If anything, the pandemic has gotten worse. And so we're in the midst of what is effectively winter here. We know there are better days ahead, but we still need to get to those better days.
Unemployment rate 6.7%. And you say the drop of 0.2 isn't necessarily a positive sign. That's people just have stopped looking, huh?
That's right. We know that many, many women have dropped out of the labor force, more so than men. Some of that, no doubt, because kids can't go to school. There might be an elderly or other relative who needs some care within the home. And also, women are very often on the front lines of these public-facing jobs, whether it's leisure and hospitality or retail, that have suffered mightily in the downturn. And, John, you know, you look at those sectors, for example, leisure and hospitality, which includes bars and restaurants, it's still down 3.4 million jobs since February. Retail is still short 550,000 jobs, and we actually lost some retail jobs in this report at a time of year, which during normal times we'd have, you know, the better numbers in retail. We did see, by the way, an increase in transportation and warehousing, 145,000, and that probably reflects the fact that the retail trade looks for online sales to be up by about 20% or so this year as people try to stay away from brick and mortar and venture more toward online.
Yeah, I was going to ask you a little bit about that. Let's pick it up here in just a minute. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. Mark Hamrick's on a phone line from Bankrate.com. We're talking right now with Mark Hamrick, Washington Bureau Chief and Senior Economic Analyst for Bankrate. Visit Bankrate.com. Mark, just before the break, you mentioned that while retail is not doing as well as we might think at the end of the fourth quarter here, the online sales are surely up. I guess not enough to make up the difference, though, huh?
Well, we'll see, John. The National Retail Federation, of course, the main industry trade group, and I virtually attended their briefing about a week or so ago, and they're still optimistic that we'll have essentially year-over-year retail sales in the holiday season that would be on par with any typical holiday season.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah, but it won't be the same, right? Because you can imagine that many of the department stores will not do as well. Apparel, unless you're selling sweatpants or tops these days, or slippers, or sneakers, not doing so well. But no, I think in the end it could be, you know, okay or fine. But the other part of that is, you know, you think about the fact that basically we've accelerated innovation during this time, and that means that some of the store closings that we typically see at the first of the year, where you have the sorting out of winners and losers, I think we'll have more of that in the first quarter or so. And so that means that, yeah, hey, online, good place to be. If you're in the so-called omni-channel space where you're doing business in all those realms, that's good. Target, Walmart, doing well there too.
Amazon.
But if you're not, you know, there'll be a price to pay.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe we should make that distinction. That is, if we say retail will be on par, that sounds good, but there's so many businesses for whom it's not good. If you are not Amazon or Walmart online and you're not a big box online, if you're not getting the foot traffic that maybe your business relies on, then you suffer, maybe you die, and maybe so maybe it's not a wash is what I'm wondering.
Well, I mean, one way or the other, you know, there are winners and losers, and you know, and we don't take much solace from the fact that there's a winner for every loser if the loser's really losing mightily. You know, I think about, let's say, someone who might run a small baking business, and in typical times they might be doing a lot of business for weddings that have 200 people there, and they have a convention or trade show, or they have a large restaurant that outsources those products, and right now none of those things are happening, and so the best they can do is try to transition some of that to an online portal if they had that space occupied already, and they might have already tried to gear that up in the meantime. But that's just an example of how a lot of businesses weren't positioned for this. Many have adapted remarkably. You know, you think about the many bars and restaurants that have made cocktails to go or do takeout and delivery, but, you know, they'd still like to have the profit margins and the alcohol sales within their dining rooms that basically help them to stay afloat.
I walked up and down Southport last night with my wife, and we were looking in at some of the shops and some of the lights and some of the windows, and it just breaks your heart to see these restaurants and bars with nobody inside and all of the money that they are not making right now. And it was a lovely evening, you know, 40 degrees, little breeze, but not too much, no snow coming down, and nobody making money in those places. So it does lead then to what's the status of stimulus. Let's just start there. My understanding is that $900 billion bill the Congress seems to like right now wouldn't even include a $1,200 check. But what are you hearing about all of this?
Right. I think we have reason to be hopeful that something will happen. I think when you get a report like this, President-elect Biden calling it grim in the last few hours, I think that that puts the pressure on elected officials. My premise has been the problem is there's an imbalance between being reasonable and being political these days. We had that more toward the reasonableness when the CARES Act was passed. So, you know, we had a bipartisan group from both the House and Senate, meaning members of both parties earlier in the week, basically putting this plan forward, and it felt like the Senate was where, once again, legislation goes to die. But the House Speaker and the Senate Majority Leader have been talking, and the President has said he'll sign basically whatever comes to his desk. So maybe if only in the holiday spirit, let's be hopeful that something does happen.
Well, I think that you're right. A lot of the onus has been on Mitch McConnell and the Republicans in the Senate, but that may not be entirely fair with this latest bill. The Democrats have to accept that they're not going to get their $2.3 trillion bill. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think that's already happened. I mean, in other words, I think they've come off the $2 trillion, and I think that's why Pelosi is now engaged. And I would be very surprised if it was more than a trillion. So, I think their initial talking point was three. Trillion doesn't go as far as it used to, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think at this point there should be a shared sense that nothing is unacceptable. You know, having no outcome of legislation is unacceptable making people suffer is not a better outcome.
Well, how important do you think the $1,200 direct payment to people is?
Well, I mean, it's better, it's because, you know, it would be at once sort of a broader economic stimulus, at a time when, I think the numbers suggest it needs that. But, you know, if that's part of the sacrifice of getting the broader package done, then I guess you say so be it. But, I think it would be helpful, no doubt.
Are low interest rates, helpful to people generally? I mean, we talk about them in terms of people buying houses. Is there any other trickle down relative to unemployment or underemployment? Are lower rates helping people otherwise?
Well, if you're not going to make your rent or don't know how you're going to put food on the table, the quick answer is no. But, you know, having attended almost every single Federal Reserve News conference there's been here in Washington over the years, the traditional answer from our central bankers, and it remains the case, is that that's the main tool in their toolbox to try to make the broader economy do what they want it to do. And in this case, that's to boost employment. And so they don't have the tools, by and large, to do what you're describing. And so that's why Jerome Powell and Janet Yellen, who held the job before him and appears to be poised to be the next Treasury Secretary, if the Senate confirms as expected, are really saying, yeah, we need this. We need this legislation passed now, and if we have our way, meaning the administration, after the 20th of January, that's not going to be enough. We're going to come back and ask for more.
Come back and ask for more what? What do you mean by that?
More legislation. I mean, in other words, this is they would say that the $900 billion legislation is essentially just part of the solution that they're looking for over the next several months.
Yeah. Well, maybe when the new Congress is seated, there'll be, if not an appetite, more of an ability to do some of that, and that's regardless of what happens in the Senate. I'm with you that $1 trillion is better than nothing, but I wonder if that's going to be enough. I just know so many people, or we know anecdotally of so many people who need $1,200. And the idea, by the way, that $1,200 is a lot of money, I think is ridiculous when you say we're talking about an amount of money one time. It's not like they're going to get $1,200 every week. That's just a one-time stimulus payment.
No, I totally agree, John. And, you know, especially in cities, right? I mean, it's one thing if you're in a small community and you have a low rent payment or a really low mortgage, but, you know, you basically have to pay $250,000 just to get, you know, an average price home in this country, and there's a mortgage associated with that. And if people are behind, as many we know many people are behind on their mortgages and rent, that doesn't get you out of that hole. So, you need the moratorium on foreclosures. You need the eviction moratoriums to continue. Otherwise, I mean, people are literally going to be thrown out in the cold here.
When we talk about the recovery, I guess we don't necessarily talk about the markets then, right? Because the Dow and all of the indices are record highs. Imagine that. We're talking more about the jobs numbers, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, this is the have and have not economy. And the other part is investors, as you know, John, are really anticipating what happens down the road. And so some of that is appropriate. And we know that technology companies have been part of the solution here. So it's appropriate to, you know, give a higher valuation to those that are winning in this winner and loser environment. But also the stock market is comprised of the most successful, best capitalized companies that have access to capital markets and lines of credit. Mom and pop business down the street isn't represented in a stock index and doesn't have access to those resources.
Do you believe that the market's already factored in the impact of a new administration? Are we already seeing that? Or do you think when the Biden administration actually gets into place that there'll also be a reaction one way or another?
Well, the market will react to all kinds of different things, but, you know, I think I have a friend who's a professional investor who thinks that the market's outcome in January will depend on the outcome of the Georgia races, and he fears that the market might have a negative short-term reaction. My take would be that what's more important is the performance of the broader economy. If inflation stays under control, we have a better economy. That means better corporate profits. Consumers are doing better. They can do business with the enterprises and end up hiring people, and that ends up being a virtuous cycle.
One last thing. That investor is worried that, or is wondering if the Democrats win or if the Republicans win, there would be a negative impact.
His fear is that that there'd be a negative reaction if the Dems basically control all three, the House, the Senate, and the White House. But the research by Sam Stovall at CFRA, who's one of the best researchers on Wall Street, indicates that you can do just fine under the circumstances of what he calls a trifecta, and he's got the historical data to back that up.
Mark Hamricks, the Washington Bureau Chief and Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate.com. Thanks for your time today, Mark. We appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Happy holidays.
You too. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. Today is December 4th, so we have 11 more days for open enrollment in the Affordable Care Plan in Illinois. Let's talk a little bit about that with Laura Pelican. Laura is with Get Covered Illinois, the executive director. You can visit getcoveredillinois.gov. Laura, thanks for joining us. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
So do I, are you the portal through which I would get my private insurance, or can I do it without Get Covered Illinois?
The best place to start when you're looking for private health insurance is through getcoveredillinois.gov. And it's a great place to get free enrollment assistance as well as find out if you qualify for financial help.
We're up to 8 different companies or plans that I can choose from. Is that right?
That is correct. Last year we had 5 carriers, insurance carriers, and this year we have 8.
So how does this work? I mean, these are private insurance carriers that the government is facilitating, the portal that you run?
No, so, you know, really, like, we run the portal to give people access to those insurance companies, but those are private health insurance companies. So just like you would have insurance through your employer, it's the same thing, except now you're not getting it through your employer, you're getting it through yourself. So they're not run by the government. We just, the government helps regulate them and puts the exchange out there so that people have plans and access to affordable health care.
I know there's different companies involved here, but can you characterize in general the cost of these insurance plans? Are they where they were last year? Are they going up or down?
So as you know, many factors can influence the rates. And some changes in the ACA marketplace for Illinois this year included the expansion of these existing carriers. However, in terms of the cost, it can vary. The cost overall for plans this year did not go up from last year. But individuals' plan, the cost will vary depending on their circumstances.
Okay, I'm not exactly sure what the answer to the question was. So put it this way.
Sorry.
Well, I understand there's so many variables involved. Maybe it's impossible to answer a question if the question is it more expensive this year than it was last year?
No, so I'm sorry. So the plans this year did not go up in terms of the overall price compared to last year. The rates have actually gone down slightly.
I see. And I don't know if you can answer this question, but do we know if the Affordable Care Act has made coverage more expensive or less coverage? The critics say, wow, look at the rates. We got ACA and everything is more expensive. I've heard the other side say it would have been more expensive still if we didn't have Obamacare. Is there an answer to that generally?
So the Affordable Care Act, really what it did is expanded health care coverage to a lot more people by increasing benefits and lowering health insurance costs for many people who couldn't afford it in the past, that didn't really have that access. So, you know, that's pretty much before the ACA, consumer protections and benefits that weren't available included being able to get coverage without pre-existing conditions. So there are definitely a lot of benefits to the ACA, and like I said, it has expanded coverage to a lot more people in our country for that reason.
If I'm doing this, I do it online. I guess I may have a question. Is there a phone number people call, and do you have the staff to handle the questions that are coming in?
So when people go to getcovered.illinois.gov, they can go to, there's an option for free help, and they can type in their zip code and get help from a free assister in their area. And the free local assisters can answer questions, help people navigate through the different plans, and even help people enroll in a plan.
You mentioned that there's financial help available. How do you qualify for that? What are we talking about?
So financial help is based basically on family household size and income levels. And there is a way to find out if you qualify by going to the website again, getcoveredillinois.gov. You look under free financial help, and you can type in your information, just some basic information that will help determine if you qualify for that financial assistance.
Is it a factor like of the poverty rate or something like that? Can you give me a ballpark on how somebody qualifies?
It is related to the federal poverty level, and as long as you are below 400% of the federal poverty level, you would qualify for some financial assistance. Most people don't know those numbers, but that information is available when you plug in your information. So, you know, it's definitely a tool that is helpful for people to figure out if they qualify.
Do you still have, one of the tenets was that you had to get insurance or you pay a penalty. Is that still in place?
The penalty is no longer in place. However, we still really recommend that people have that health insurance coverage, especially now during a pandemic where there's a lot of uncertainty and a health crisis. It's really important to have that coverage for when you need it.
Much of the rest of the Affordable Care Act is in place, though. Essentially, without the mandate, we're still operating under the basic tenets of Obamacare, correct?
That is correct, right. There's 10 essential health benefits that people are covered under the ACA Marketplace plans. And again, if you visit the getcoveredillinois.gov website, if you're not familiar with those, what those 10 essential benefits are, that information is available. But that includes preventive and wellness care coverage for people who, for young adults who are under the age of 26, they can still be covered under their parents' plan. And there's, like, you know, many more benefits listed there for easy reference.
And I guess the tricky thing with any insurance when you're buying it for anything, including your health, is the premium versus the deductible. Is that the sort of navigation I'm going to make when I go to these different companies?
Right. So when you go to compare plans and you're kind of deciding on which plan you want, all that information in terms of what your co-pays and premiums would be are out there in front of you so that you can determine what works best for your family and your budget.
It's all there at, and here's the web, you can go there now, but remember the clock is ticking the 15th, right? The 15th is the
Right,
deadline.
December 15th, and I highly recommend that people don't wait till the last minute just so they have time to, like I said, shop and compare and really know what they're getting.
Three more companies this year available to you. GetCoveredIllinois.gov. GetCoveredIllinois.gov. Okay, Laura, well done. Thanks for your time. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you so much.
On the Wintrust Business Lunch, as we continue now with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. McDonald's franchisees will likely see bills go up next year. Corporate is rolling out a series of changes, including ending an approximately $300 a month Happy Meal subsidy it pays each restaurant. The company will also ask franchisees to jointly fund its tuition program, which has been covered 100% by corporate. And McDonald's will institute a pay-as-you-go model for technology investment, which could result in a $400 monthly expense. Bloomberg's reporting on the changes after viewing an internal McDonald's memo. McDonald's has about 14,000 U.S. restaurants, and most of them are owned by franchisees. Amazon is opening up the first location of its brick-and-mortar grocery store in Naperville next week. The 35,000-square-foot Amazon Fresh store opens December 10th at 3116 South Route 59. It's the fifth Amazon Fresh store nationwide and the first outside of California. Shoppers will have the option to use dash carts that allow customers to skip the checkout lines. The dash carts use cameras, sensors, and scales to identify items selected and then brings them up. The store will also have Alexa terminals that shoppers can use to get recipe suggestions and find the locations of the products they want on store shelves. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. We'll go into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 8.5 minutes. The director of Lincoln Park Zoo is Megan Ross, and she joins us on WGN. Megan, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I saw a picture online this morning, just now, in fact. Somebody tweeted out a picture of one of those monoliths, a big silver statue-y thing just outside the zoo. Do you have any knowledge of this?
I have no knowledge of that. Yeah. I do know we have some pretty spectacular lights, though. So
I see those. And by the way, don't bank on my Twitter account here. I do go by the lights all the time, though. I go through Lincoln Park Zoo virtually every day, and from just about 4:30 through early in the morning, it's just gorgeous, even from the outside, let alone if you go inside.
Yeah, I think so. It's really amazing that we're able to have our zoo lights presented by ComEd and Invesco QQQ this year. We're so happy to have this holiday event really end 2020 on a bright spot.
Has it changed much, the experience? How do I do it this year different than last?
It's a little bit different. Yes, we do require that you make reservations, and so you need to get your tickets or your reservations if you're coming to one of our free nights. We have one more remaining free night, which will be on December 9th. And we have a lot of requirements, meaning you need to wear your face coverings and stay socially distant. And we don't have quite as many kind of places where you would stop and watch a light event. It's all about walking through the lights and kind of enjoying the enchantment of the lights surrounding you. So it's really meant to be this one-way path that kind of goes in a big circle, a big eight around the zoo.
Do you go inside buildings or are you outside the whole time?
We're outside only this year.
And do you have food or beverage? That was part of it last year.
We do. We have food and beverage. We have a really fun pop-up called Snowy's. It does. You have to get a ticket to go up to Snowy's, and it's an amazing little fun venue for you to get some food and beverage and to have a seated experience up there. We also do have several different restaurants around the zoo grounds where you can get a hot chocolate. But, again, you can't walk with your hot chocolate this year because you're not supposed to be walking without your face covering on. But you can have a seat and enjoy your hot chocolate and watch the lights and then get up and continue your path.
Do you have themed nights? I think you do a Charlie Brown night, don't you?
We have a lot of virtual experiences coming up, and we're pretty excited about them. This year we had a virtual challenge since it's the 26th anniversary of Zoo Lights. We decided to make it a marathon challenge. So if you wanted to help support the zoo, you could run a marathon over the course of the month of December to help support us. We also have Chris White Trio Tribute of a Charlie Brown Christmas. That's a virtual event coming up on December 13th. We have a virtual walk through the zoo, walk through of Zoo Lights with the producers of the event, and they're going to talk about how we make it like it how we make it so magical every year, and they're going to talk about what they've done in previous years and then what they're doing this year. And then on December 20th, we have a virtual story time with Santa. So you can join us over Zoom and hear two holiday stories as well as meet an animal and receive a special inside look at the animal's habitat.
So if I'm doing that, say, via Zoom for Santa or the Chris White Trio tribute to Charlie Brown Christmas, do I just go to the website and I can watch it in real time, or do I need to get an invite? How do I do that?
If you go to www.lpzoo.org, all of the events and the tickets for coming to Zoo Lights are all on that site. So if you go on there, you can look at for reservation times that are still available for tickets, and you can also sign up for any of these virtual nights.
Dr. Megan Ross is on a phone line, the director at the Lincoln Park Zoo. A little different this year, but isn't it nice to know they're still doing it? Are some days or nights sold out, or can I still go any day of my choosing?
Oh, most of our nights are sold out. We do have a handful of tickets still available, and again, our December 9th, which is one of our free nights, those tickets have not gone on sale yet. They're free, but you have to make your reservation. They will go and become available Sunday at 4 p.m. So if you want to make a reservation for our free night, which is December 9th, that's our last free night. We had five free nights this year. Then go online to www.lpzoo.org and see if you can snag one of the tickets that night. And we do have a limited amount of tickets for each night for not each night, but for many of the nights that are still upcoming.
Megan, since we went back to Tier 3, did you all have to shut down operations, or have you been still letting people come to the zoo at Tier 3?
We have been letting people come to the zoo. We're an outdoor venue, so people have still been able to safely navigate the zoo. We've been at 25% capacity since we opened in June. So really the changes with indoor facilities closing didn't change anything about our outdoor experience since none of our buildings were open before.
And then how have you all been doing for revenue? How is the zoo hanging on?
The zoo is hanging on. We've had some amazing support from our Board of Trustees, our donors, our members. We really have appreciated all of the amazing support we have felt from our Chicago and abroad family of the zoo. Our earned revenue, as you could imagine, is a lot lower than it normally is. So we are going to have a gap in how we budgeted this year and how we're going to end this year. But we've really come together this year through all the generous donations.
I was talking to somebody at the aquarium about the budget for food alone for the animals, and I suppose you have a pretty big nut that you can't scrimp on at the zoo.
Right. We do not have very many areas that we can cut because, obviously, animal care is what we take very seriously and ensuring that all of our animals have good welfare.
Yeah.
So we have not reduced any of those programs over this time period. So those do have fixed costs that we have just been continuing to endure.
Let's support the zoo, lpzoo.org. They're doing it for you. The lights are up, lpzoo.org.
Okay. And if you want to support us, you can also adopt an animal as a Christmas gift. We have lots of gift-giving opportunities on our website as well. So you can come to the zoo for zoo lights, come to our virtual events, or help support us in other ways.
Dr. Ross, thanks for your time today. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
And happy holidays. You too. Wintrust Business Lunch ending now, getting ready to head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.